Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD. Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Autry, joined, as always, by my co-host, JD. JD, it's top 5 week, man. How you doing?
Mega Millions, mother effer. That's how I'm doing.
I love it, man. I'm looking forward to diving into this top five worst sequels breakdown here. And we're actually joined by a special guest tonight. We've got Brian from the Terrible Terror podcast. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
It's been a while. So
yeah, I was just thinking about that.
We had you back on, would have been 2018 for Sleepaway Camp. I believe. And then we came on your show for Nicolas Cage Week, which was awesome.
That's right. Spirit of Vengeance, baby.
Oh, man. So I have horrible memories from watching that movie. So the fact that you put us through that, I felt like you owed us one for this episode here. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, guys, you know, Spirit of Vengeance, not a great watch. And I thought, who would be awesome to have for this episode where we're talking about terrible movies? The Terrible Terror podcast. I mean, it just makes sense to have you on here, Brian. So, man, talk about your show a little bit. I know it's been a while since you've been on. So, for audience that hasn't heard your show or is not familiar with it, go ahead and plug away here.
Sure. So, the Terrible Terror podcast is a podcast where I look at, it's changed a little bit. I used to look at just strictly bad horror movies. Now I just kind of like run the spectrum. I try to do little themes and make sure that like I don't let everything get stale. But I run through a whole film using clips from the movie. And a lot of it is kind of ad-libbed from those clips. But we go through. It's just a comedic take on the atrocities that sometimes get put to film. And I like to, you know, every once in a while bring people on. But mostly it's just me. It's a lot of fun to do, and definitely something that I hope people really enjoy.
Absolutely. And you have a new episode up that just dropped a couple days ago, right?
Young That's
Frankenstein?
Right. Yep. I went through the Mel Brooks classic. And then the next one is going to be the Banana Splits movie.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the Banana Splits movie. The title already has me thinking it's a terrible movie. What's that one about?
The rumor goes is that this guy was writing a Five Nights at Freddy's movie, but the Five Nights at Freddy creator hated the movie. So he shopped it around and basically contacted, I believe, Warner Brothers, who owns the rights to Banana Splits, and says, hey, can I do this with the Banana Splits characters? So it's a horror movie involving the Banana Splits.
Yep,
so I'm expecting it to be either like so terrible that it's fantastic or to actually be just a fun time, but I'm going into it, you know, really like fresh. I haven't seen it yet, so it's going to be just right there. And it came out like right as I was doing like, it's supposedly comedic horror, so I'm doing like some comedic horror movies. Mm-hmm. And originally I was going to stick it to Dave and do two Gene Wilder movies. I was going to do Haunted Honeymoon for the second one. But then I saw that and I'm like, I've got to do this movie.
Yeah. Okay. Well, have you ever done The Room?
I have not. Okay. I've seen The Room a bunch, and the that movie that Seth Rogen did, James
Disaster
Franco,
Artist.
Disaster Artist, yes.
Love
I
it.
Love that movie.
I that's, freaking
that's
love
so
that
fantastic.
Movie. If
and,
you
and
do The Room, dude, I want to come on for The Room. I am like obsessed. I read the book. I watched the movie. I watched the newest movie with Seth Rogen. Like I've done so much research into this movie now.
I've got to do two. If I do The Room, I also have to do Birdemic Shock and Awe, if you've ever seen that.
I have not, but I will check it out.
Oh, that's as delightful as watching The Room. That was supposedly like the first horror love story or something like
okay.
that. It's terrible, but it's
right.
so hilarious.
Well, speaking of terrible movies, here's how this is going to go. We're going to break down this list from 5 to 1. I'm going to go first. Brian, I got you second. JD, I've got you going third. And just, you know, we'll give a brief description of why it's on the list. We'll kind of talk about it back and forth, pick each other's list apart, and just have some fun with it, man. And we'll drop some honorable mentions at the end here. So I'm going to go ahead and start us off here. We're in 2007 for the sequel to Bruce Almighty, Evan Almighty. Now, let me start by saying this. If I told you there was a comedy movie coming out with Steve Carell, John Goodman, and Morgan Freeman, would you think it was going to be one of the worst movies of all time? Probably not. But they went ahead and dropped $175 million into the production of this movie, and it went on to gross $173, pretty much losing their ass if you add in the marketing side of it. And not just to mention the loss of money, which was horrible for the studio, it's just a god-awful movie. I think I turned it on one time, made it through about 20 minutes, and I had to cut it off. I wish that at some point maybe you could revisit this movie and it wouldn't be as bad as it is, but I don't see that ever happening. What do you guys think about my number 5 pick?
I think it's a pretty good pick. I remember like being kind of okay with Bruce Almighty. Like, I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. It's got a couple of funny scenes. And then it's like, wait, now we're going to have an arc building movie with the guy that was in it for like just a couple of minutes.
Right.
What the hell's going on here?
Yeah. Now they're coming back with a heavy religion and free will movie with Steve Carell, who was hot at the time with The Office. Very popular. And they figured, well, we'll just cut out Jim Carrey's salary and we'll do Steve Carell. No big deal, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just pay Morgan Freeman a ton more to come back and act as God.
I bet he's like, I want $45 million. And they probably had to give it to him. JD, what do you think about Evan Almighty at number 5?
A little surprised that you want that high with that amount of heat this quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is going to be a great episode. I'm looking forward to seeing where you go from here. Obviously, it was a horrible movie, but yeah. I didn't like the original anyway. So,
okay,
what can you do? What can you say?
Well, I can say, Brian, what's your number 5 pick, man?
All right, so I'm going to take you guys to 1987, and we're going to talk about a sequel where Mr. Michael Caine did not show up to the Oscars to film this movie. And, of course, we're talking about the shark revenge movie, Jaws the Revenge, about a shark that goes down into the Bahamas to chase the family that killed his pappy. This movie is just awful. I mean, it's got great sets.
Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful to look at. It's got Mario Van Peebles. Give it what you want. And Michael Caine sleeping through most of the movie. So what else? It's just absolutely terrible, from the effects of the shark to the revenge plot that they have going on in the film. Yeah, what do you guys think of Jaws the Revenge?
Yeah, it's... Go ahead, Jimmy.
I was going to say, that's a fantastic pick. Obviously, everything about that movie is dirty as a butthole.
Yeah, it's just an awful movie. I mean, there's no way around it. JD, you're always good with impressions. Do you do a Michael Caine?
I do not.
I just imagine him throughout the movie just going, God, this is just awful. And that voice just, what am I going to do? How am I going to recover from this?
No, I can't do that. Bruce Wayne, your parents are dead.
Oh, gosh. And this is what happens when you try to just bleed a franchise completely dry for all it's worth. And yeah, I mean, barely recoup the budget. I think they made double, which when you add in marketing probably means they broke even if they're lucky. So yeah, not a big success at all. JD, let's slide over to your number 5 pick. What do you got?
All right. So my list is going to be completely random and off the mother effing wall.
Normally is.
Normally is. I am going to take us. Let's start with 2000.
Oh boy.
Let's go way back in time. Let's go to the Flintstones, Viva Rock Vegas.
Oh God.
Jeez. I've never even watched that movie just because the trailer alone, I was just like, nope, hard pass for me.
Do I really need to say much more about Viva Rock Vegas, or do you guys want me to explain why this is just a piece of shit?
Yeah, go ahead and dive into the shitness of the movie if you would.
The shitness. We've got Mark Addy and Stephen Baldwin. Alan Cumming is in this movie. I mean, the first Flintstones movie being a remake of whatever the cartoon.
Yeah,
you know, we had John Goodman and Rick Moranis, but to go from that to Mark Addy and Stephen Baldwin, is that not just like a bow and arrow to the nostril?
Well, it's not even like it's like more of a prequel too, isn't it? It's like when they're young going out that way.
Oh shit, you remember more than I do.
Oh gosh. Yeah, like, it's young bachelors. Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble have recently qualified as crane operators at Slate and Company. So yeah, it's a prequel.
Oh my god, it's so terrible.
I'm actually surprised that Amblin even put their name on the production of this movie. They co-produced this. But yeah, I mean, the fact that John Goodman and Rick Moranis are nowhere to be seen and Mark Addy and Stephen freaking Baldwin are in should tell you pretty much all you need to know. Not to mention, they gave this movie an $83 million budget.
What? Well, probably all went to Stephen Baldwin's cocaine habit.
Yeah, that went right up his nose. gosh, that's a great pick, JD. Not a movie I've seen, but I like your pick at number five. I'm going to head to 1997 for my number four pick. It's the sequel to the 1994 action film Speed. I'm at Speed 2.
Oh, shit, it's on a boat.
So they've moved from the bus to the boat. They changed characters here. They could not convince Keanu Reeves to come back to this piece of shit, but Sandra Bullock was contractually obligated, so she had to come back. Somehow they managed to talk Jason Patrick into this, who's a phenomenal actor. So they must have thrown some good coin his way. And the only thing they did right is they gave Jason Patrick his own character, and it wasn't a complete rehash and they just changed lead actors and kept the same character. That's the only thing they did right. But yeah, just another movie where there's nothing good about this movie. Why they decided to go onto a boat, I don't know. What, I mean, where would they have gone next? Like bicycling, motorcycles? Like what was the idea for this? I don't get it. It's a horrible movie. I'll never watch it again in my lifetime. And that is why it's number four. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good pick. Is it Willem Dafoe? Was he the bad guy in that movie?
Yep.
Jesus Christ. I mean, like, already, okay, his face is scary enough, but it's just, I remember him being like the only kind of redeeming thing to the film and like not enough for me to want to sit in the theater anymore and take any more of the torture that's there.
Yeah. Not good at all. It's just the fact that poor Sandra Bullock had to go through this movie. She's lucky her career rebounded after this. She had a couple good choices, but yeah, that could have been a career ender for her, which at some point on my list, we'll get to one that actually ended people's career. Brian, let's slide over to your number four pick. What do you got?
All right, I'm going to take you guys to 1990. And one of my favorite films as a kid, this was the second sequel to, or actually the first sequel, I should say. And that is The NeverEnding Story 2, The Next Chapter. And it's all because of Jonathan goddamn Brandis and his fucking horrible acting in this film. Like, I can understand that maybe you don't want to be a part of this. Maybe you're a little bit too old to be the young kid or whatever, but at least give somewhat of a shit. I remember seeing this in the theater and just, I looked over my parents like, can we just get the fuck out of here? And my sister, she's just smitten with him.
Yeah.
So we're staying for the rest of the goddamn movie. But I mean, I always thought that this was the one that has Jack Black, but that happens to be the third one. But they screwed up everything from the first one. He's going around, he's trying to help the bad person that's obviously fucking bad, but he's giving shit to Atreyu the whole time. I remember being so upset with this movie when I was a kid, and it, you know, they don't, I couldn't find any like box office how much it cost, but it only made $17.4 million through its run with a 14% cinema score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh, that's rough. Yeah, Jonathan Brandis was, I don't know if he was ever the same after this movie. This really put a damper on his young career. But yeah, I don't remember much about this movie, probably just for the fact that it was really awful and I was not interested in sitting there and watching the whole thing. JD, what do you think? I think this is pretty solid. I mean, they should have called it The Final Chapter, but unfortunately they gave us a third film. What do you think, JD?
Yeah, it's a fantastic pick for sure, because there's so much that goes into creating a film like this that just nosedives into oblivion.
Yeah. All right, JD, number four, what do you have?
I think I'm going to take us to 1997. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Drum roll.
Joy to the world. Okay.
What the hell happened with Home Alone 3?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God.
Are you serious? Home Alone 3? Really? 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 Really?
Can I just say my son actually likes number 3?
Well, that's embarrassing.
I know. I think it's the toy car. But yeah, Macaulay Culkin is not coming back for number 3, so they're recasting with just, I don't know, would you say the worst acting you've ever seen out of villains in your entire life?
Oh, it's phenomenally bad. Like, everything about all that is in this movie just makes no sense. How could you screw up such a fantastic formula?
Yeah.
Yeah, make the kid home alone, hijinks, money.
You want to know something that'll really bum you out here? The original draft for this movie had Macaulay Culkin coming back as a teenager, Kevin McAllister, with Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci reprising their roles.
Yeah, do you want to bum yourself out even more?
It's written by John Hughes.
Was that, and it was a $32 million budget against a $79 million box office.
How they dropped 30, I don't even know. The only thing that came out of this movie that was good in any sense is the fact that it helped launch Scarlett Johansson. And the fact that she got put in this movie, I actually feel terrible for her. But she's only in it for a couple scenes, which is good. It didn't completely ruin her career.
Hopefully that she, you know, doesn't remember even being in the movie at all.
That would be hilarious if somebody was at a presser and they're like, what do you remember about Home Alone 3? She's like, I was in that? Yeah, geez. 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's an awful movie. Good pick, JD. I like it. Now, I'm not going to try and one-up you here, but I am going to 2005. It's a franchise we all know. We all love. Some of us, it might even be your favorite sports movie of all time. I am talking about The Sandlot 2, the direct-to-DVD sequel to The Sandlot, directed, produced, and written by the original creator, David Mickey Evans. They flash back to 1962 when Benny becomes the Jet. So it's a prequel. It's just an awful movie. I remember this coming out. I rented it from Family Video in college. I was would be a freshman or a sophomore that year. I got home. I was so excited. There's a new Sandlot movie. An hour and a half later, it was like somebody threw a bag of crap in my face. Awful. Worst movie in the franchise by far. They actually made a third one that wasn't as bad because they brought back Squints. This is a pile of dog poop. Have either of you even watched this movie?
I cannot say that I have.
No, this was a death pass for me.
Yeah, I unfortunately didn't know. I saw Sandlot 2 and got really excited. The only thing that I like about this movie is it has Thurman Munson, or no, Thurman Merman from Bad Santa's in this as the catcher. I was like, okay, that actually makes sense. He can play a Thurman ham porter. Thurman Merman. That's got to be a future episode. I love Bad Santa. He's not going to shit right for a week. Okay. Brian, with that line, I'm going to pass it to you. What do you have at number three?
All right. So we're going to go to 1997. And we're going to just speak nothing but puns because it's very ice to meet you. And we're going to do Batman and Robin.
Has to be.
Good Lord. This was something I was so excited for. Arnold Schwarzenegger is playing one of my favorite Batman villains. Mm-hmm. You got Uma Thurman coming in there as Poison Ivy. I wasn't too upset about Batman Forever. It could have been a little better, but I was like, this is great. And then I remember sitting in the theater, and the first scene happens.
Yeah.
And I'm like, am I watching a goddamn Power Rangers movie with everybody flipping off from the side, just jumping into scene, and then getting thrown off the scene? Like, what the hell? Is this all just going to be some stupid English dub that I'm going to watch for the rest of the goddamn movie? Oh, shit. It's the Bat credit card that he's paying for shit. Like, what the hell is this? What the hell am I watching? I have never been so upset in a movie theater before. You know, it's just terrible. I'd never been so upset by a superhero movie.
So you're 1997. How old are you?
I'm 17.
17.
At that point. I might even have been 16 because it's probably during the summer when it came out.
And they, without a doubt, made the film for 7-year-olds. So it's completely...
Oh, Jesus.
But yeah, I mean, you know it's bad when like one of the first lines is like, what killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age! It's just, oh my gosh. Just awful.
It's just so cartoony. Like, it's beyond cartoony. I thought that, you know, old Adam West Batman was campy and cartoony. No, this hands down beats any episode.
Yep. Okay, well, I'm not going to add too much more because it may or may not be on my list. JD, what do you think about Batman and Robin here at number three?
It has to be included. If it didn't come up between the three of us, we have 15 potential movies that are listed as the worst sequels ever. It had to happen. Right. And here we are, and it's ice to meet you.
Stay cool, bird boy. Oh, gosh. Awful. Okay. Well, JD, let's get to your number three. What do you have?
You know what? I'm going to take us to 1997. We're going to stick with the theme. It's come up already, but I have to say Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Okay.
And, you know, you sort of ruined my thunder a little bit, Kyle.
I like to do
there's
that.
Something about, well, you know, this guy. There's something about this movie that is just so misses the point of the original movie, which I think so many sequels tend to do. They just don't understand what made the original so great. It's not the speed itself. It was the tension and the everything being enclosed into like one little avenue that made it so thematic and so cinematic and so thrilling. It's like, okay, so now we're on a boat. Like, are we going to be on a skateboard next? A bicycle? Are we talking Harrison Ford and Air Force One? Like, come on.
Yeah, unfortunately, and the guy that directed this movie, I think it's Jan de Bont. So he started with Speed, knocked it out of the park. Twister, knocks it out of the park. Speed 2? Uh-oh. A little knock in the road here. And then he gets The Haunting, and then Hollywood's like, hey, dude, you got to kick rocks here. We can't hire you anymore. So it's like he had two amazing movies, two bad movies, and then he was pretty much out the door. The last thing he got was Lara Croft, The Cradle of Life, which was like, what, the second or third movie? And that, I mean, that could be on the list as well. So it's like, bomb, bomb, bomb. Have fun in retirement, buddy. A lot of potential, though, that guy had. He was a great cinematographer, filmed a lot of different things, so it's a shame for him. Brian, anything you want to add on Speed 2 for JD that you didn't mention earlier, or we'll move on to number two?
I think we're good to move on to number two.
Okay. We're in 2002. It's a reality show movie. I think you guys don't know where I'm going with this. It's the follow-up to Halloween H2O. We're talking about Halloween Resurrection, which stars Thomas Ian Nicholas, who I actually really love, Rookie of the Year, American Pie, bunch of great things. But they decided to cast, hard to say without a straight face here, Busta Rhymes and Tyra Banks.
Busta Rhymes. Whew.
Man, Kung Fu, man. Yeah, it's just the worst premise for a movie. I can understand where they were going with it, but it never hit the mark for me. I've tried to rewatch it like 7 different times. Like, okay, maybe I'll appreciate it this time. Maybe this time. Maybe I'm done. I want to just get the movie out of my collection. Forget it exists. It is awful. It carries a 4 out of 10 on IMDb. And yeah, I mean, it actually, yeah, if it didn't win a bunch of Razzies, it should have. And I'm going to check into that. But Brian, what do you think about Halloween Resurrection?
It misses so many marks. They had a great opportunity after H2O, which,
yep,
I felt was a great comeback for the franchise. You know, it got a little bit too supernatural. You got Jamie Lee Curtis coming back, and it just kind of shits the bed. But you do get Kung Fu against Michael Myers with Busta Rhymes at the same time. So it's kind of like, that's kind of entertaining. But it doesn't save any part of the movie. It's one of those films that makes me angry, you know, that why did you waste all its potential after you basically knocked it out of the park with the previous film?
Yeah, and it came out in 2002, so I was, you know, going into high school at this point. I'm like a junior. I think I went on a date with my girlfriend to this movie. They should have called it Halloween Killed My Erection, because it was just awful. And it ruined the whole night, and I won't forgive them for that anytime soon.
So much for that popcorn on the lap, huh?
Exactly. JD, anything you want to add about the old Resurrection?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that you didn't have a resurrection of sort. Mm-hmm. you just had a greasy, buttery lap, which I think is kind of like a metaphor for this movie. It's just you walk into it and you are excited for it, and at the end of the date you just have a greasy, buttery lap.
Yeah, it's one of those movies like you're going with a friend, and like you lean over 10 minutes and you're like, this is really fucking awful, is it not? And they're like, yeah. Like, oh god, should we get out of here? Like, is it too late to get our money back for this ticket? Like, yeah, you just got to get out of there. Don't see it, people. There's 9 other movies, maybe 10 in the franchise. Pick another one. Dear God. Brian, what do you have at number 2?
So at number 2, we're going to go to 2003, and we're going to go as a sequel to a movie that I was surprised by. And I know, you know, there's some people that don't like the original movie, and that's fine. But I really found, like, at the time for a horror movie, I thought it was really well done, very tension-filled, and it was primarily a chase movie. And then you have Jeepers Creepers 2. And you've got high school students on a fucking bus. The entire movie, these jocks that are just the worst characters possible. Uh-huh. It supposedly takes place right after the first movie happens, and where you have these great chase scenes, and they're trying to figure out who the creeper is, and it's you get into his lair, and I'm like, okay, it'd be great if it was the sister now chasing after everything had been done. But nope, we've got some farmer that creates some, like, crossbow weapon to shoot him down. But he's going to pick off all the different kids that are... It's just so terrible that I remember going into the theater. I didn't see the first one in the theaters, and I wish I had. And yeah. I wish I had never seen this in the theater and given money to this. It's just... it's so god-awful.
I can't even remember who's in this movie. That's how bad it is. Like, none of the thank God for them. None of the actors stick out. But jeez, this is, oh, I almost forgot how bad this movie is until you brought it up.
Oh, and I can't believe Justin Long came back even to reprise his role. He should have said, pulled a Keanu Reeves and just said, get somebody else to be me.
he probably was going to have a bigger role, and then got there on the first day and he was like, I got to call my agent. Like, you got to get me off of this thing. I've already filmed the scene. Just like, let them know, like, I'm sick or I got something else going on.
I'm just not going to have my eyes. It's okay. Nobody will really know who I am.
Exactly.
Was that the guy from the first one? No, it can't be him. Can't be him. No.
Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers?
Okay. JD, anything you want to add about Jeepers Creepers 2 before we move on to your number 2 pick?
That's really funny because I saw Jeepers Creepers 2 in theaters on a date freshman year of college. And we left the theater after watching it, the girl that I was on a date with walked out to the parking lot, hiked up her skirt, and took a piss on someone's car.
Oh, very classy.
I don't think I talked with her sons.
Oh, Jeepers Creepers 2, bring out the best in everybody.
I was going to say, I'd have married that one, but okay, you passed. All right, well, let's go over to your number 2 pick, JD. What do you got?
Okay, so bear with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this a little bit differently. We are in 1993.
Uh-huh.
We have John Travolta.
Oh, boy.
Christy Alley.
Yeah.
Danny DeVito. Diane Keaton. Olympia Dukakis. Do you know what I'm talking about yet?
I can look at what you're talking about.
Now. Look who's talking now. What in the world is look who's talking now? Look who's talking. Fine. That's fantastic. That's cute. I get it. Look who's talking too. Oh, you did T-O-O. That's so cute. Oh, but look who's talking now. I'm sorry. What is happening in this movie?
Whew, this is one of the worst. You're definitely right.
It is the worst. I just couldn't believe. I was torn between doing Look Who's Talking To and Look Who's Talking Now. And what Roseanne's in the Look Who's Talking To, right? Like, that's...
Yeah.
Ugh. Barf.
The one thing that always weirded me out about this movie, and I don't know if you remember this at all, but the kids no longer have voiceovers anymore or inner thoughts. And I was like, okay, that's kind of what made the first two at least watchable for me, is that inner dialogue was kind of funny. And then they come out with this one and all of a sudden Charles Barkley's in this with a cameo. the round, he's probably just like, this is terrible. I'll call my agent. This is awful. What the hell is going on? John Travolta tried to grope me too. Too far.
Well, oops.
Whoops. But yeah, $22 million budget. It grossed back only $10 million, making it the lowest grossing movie in the series by far. Good pick, though. Brian, what do you think about his number 2?
Oh, come on. It's talking dogs. What could be funnier than talking dogs or dogs with an inner monologue? Danny DeVito, how much money did you need? I love him to death. And I remember seeing this as a kid, it's one thing. But nowadays, looking back on it, it's like, really? Did you guys? I understand John Travolta. Okay, I understand your career was in the shitter at this time. You just needed to make films. Right. You need to support that Scientology habit. I get it. But come on, man. It's just so... It leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
It really does. And it's part of a very elite collection of movies that actually holds a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'd love to say poor John Travolta only has one movie on that list, but he actually has two 0%ers, including the recently Gotti movie that he did.
So
he's on that list more than I think any actor in the history of film. So good for him, I think. I don't know. Now, so quick recap. We're getting to the final pick here. So I started with Evan Almighty, and then we cruised in to Speed 2 for some cruise control, and then we headed back over to the Diamond for the Sandlot 2. Number 2 was Halloween Resurrection, and number 1, I'm in 1997 for the very highly awarded movie, a Razzie for Worst Actress, two supporting worst actor roles, a worst actress role, and a worst song role award for Billy Corgan. We're back in 1997, and we're back with Batman and Robin, the sequel to Batman Forever. It's, my gosh, it just goes on and on. I mean, even the song title from Billy Corgan's pretty awful. It's called The End is the Beginning is the End. What? What are you talking about, Billy? Lost his mind. You got O'Donnell and Schwarzenegger racking up worst supporting actors. You got Alicia Silverstone, who had a promising career, and that went right down the tube with this movie. She was pretty much never casted again in a high-budget movie. Yeah, it's just, it's the worst, man. It is the worst movie I think I've ever seen, just because I'm such a big Batman fan, and this came at a time when I was, you know, a young kid. I was excited. I had collected everything that they put out for Batman and Robin, and then they came out and pissed all over my parade. So that is my number one. What do you guys think?
You know, Alicia Silverstone was the only one to not get bat nipples. That's a shame.
Hey-o.
Looking back at it, maybe a good thing for her? I don't know. George Clooney's never lived that down.
No, he has not.
He still apologizes at Comic-Cons for Batman and Robin every year, it seems like. Okay, so that's my top five. Brian, let's get to yours. You started with Jaws Revenge. Then we went to The Never-Ending Story, which never ended. Then you went to Batman and Robin. And then we went to old Jeepers Creepers 2. Dare I ask, what do you have for number one?
All right, so we're going to stay in 97 for this. We're going to talk about a little video game adaption movie. Oh, that boy. Is a sequel to one that wasn't that bad. And I remember the first one, it being entertaining enough. That was a W.S. Anderson film. But we're going to talk about the absolutely atrocious sequel to that film, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which has some of the worst CGI that you have ever seen in a whole film. You sit through this piece of garbage film to the point that they're going to do their animality thing, and then it's this shitty Hydra with three heads and a shitty dragon-looking thing that's supposed to represent Liu Kang fighting Shao Kahn, who the guy can't even keep his accent under control for any part of this movie. It's just poorly acted. They try to throw every single Mortal Kombat character you can think about, randomly show up in the film. They want to do all the sub-stories all the way through Mortal Kombat 3. It's a giant clusterfuck. To even Jax, who's supposed to be this cool guy, I wish Sektor would blow him the fuck up so I don't have to see him for the rest of this movie. It is terrible. This is the worst sequel I think that I've ever spent money on.
Okay.
And it was $30 million to film it, and it made $51.3 million. So it made its goddamn money back, which pisses me off more.
Now, I will, speaking of Rotten Tomatoes, 2% on Rotten Tomatoes. It carries an 11 out of 100 on the Metacritic website, and one critic had this to say about Mortal Kombat Annihilation. It's a bad movie. No way around it. Over the years, however, it's evolved into a cult hit of sorts, playing as an unintentional comedy. So it's got a little bit of the room to it, almost by complete accident. So I don't know. I've ever actually seen Annihilation. I don't know if I want to, but that gives me a little hope that I might watch it and laugh hysterically. I don't know. I don't know where I fall on this. JD, what do you think?
I'm a big fan of Mortal Kombat. I love the games, I love the cartoon, I love the live action series, and I personally love both the movies.
Oh, no.
I love it.
How dare you?
I know, it's a guilty pleasure, but you could put that movie on in a room full of 10 people and 9 people will be like, "Argh!" And I'll be like, "You're damn right."
Oh, I love the first one. The first one is good. Like, it is entertaining. It's got a badass soundtrack. I can't sit through. The thing is that I shouldn't say that. I can sit through it, but yeah. Do I want to sit through
it? The answer for me is yes.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to your answer for number one, JD. You started with the Flintstones, Viva Las Vegas. We went to Chicago.
Viva Rock Vegas.
Oh, gosh. Even the title's awful. I'm leaving that in there. Viva Rock Vegas, I stand corrected. We went to Chicago for Home Alone 3. Jeez. Speed 2, Cruise Control, you're on the same boat as me, unfortunately, in Cruise Control. Then we went to Look Who's Talking Now. What do you have for number one?
I think speak very softly and slowly, because I'm heading to 1995. Kyle, I feel like maybe you can guess it. I will give you one chance right now. What am I going to say?
95. Oh, gosh. I don't know.
The Adventure Home. Free Willy 2. How the fuck did they make a sequel to this movie? Are you kidding me? Are you seriously kidding me? You're going to bring the main character back again and Michael Madsen back again, and you're going to do the same exact crap that you did in the first freaking movie, and it was so horrible. Who watched the first movie? Who's watching the second movie? And how in the hell is there a third? Oh my gosh. That just made my mind explode. I've got this freaking boop coming out of my brain right now. No good. Hate it.
Free Willy 2, like if you didn't like number one, number two is a tough pill to swallow here. It did not make its money back. They had a $31 million budget. It grossed 30. But yeah, the Adventure Home was not much of an adventure at all. It's pretty awful. It's not a great sequel at all. I'm glad you put it on the list here. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the cool thing about Free Willy 1 is they actually had a real killer whale in there.
Oh. But there's nothing cool about the first Free Willy. Just stop it. Bite your tongue, sir. There's nothing cool about it. You made me sit through and watch that original movie, and it was the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Damn you. Damn your face.
So in this one, they replace him with a robotic double, and they shipped him off to Oregon so he could rehabilitate his poor health. Poor whale. Oh. But yeah, it's not good. And if you thought this was really bad, you should check out The Rescue Part 3. And if that didn't kill you, go ahead and check out Free Willy Escape from Pirate's Cove, starring the dude Crocodile Dundee's daughter. Whew! It's awful.
Escape from Pirate's Cove? What the fuck? Jeez, that's hard to fight against, man. First of all, I want to apologize that you even had to watch the first one. I only had to watch it because I dragged to the movie theater. And I remember sitting in the seat and being like, is this over? Is this over? Please let this be over.
Screw you, Kyle.
But yeah, it sounds like they just took a page out of John Hughes for Home Alone 2 and just wrote the same movie.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, God. No. Couldn't do it. You couldn't pay me to do that.
Okay. Well, as usual, this is a hard list to put together. I mean, there's always a couple movies that you want to get on the list, but you couldn't quite figure out what to put where. I'll start with my first honorable mention here, and we'll just kind of shovel them out there. I've got two of them in particular. One is a movie that I waited a long time for a sequel. The Lost Boys, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, no.
In fact, it was my number one pick a few weeks ago when we did top teen movies, top five. It was my number one. Lost Boys 2, The Tribe. God damn you guys. The worst movie. First of all, the trailer got a ton of hate when it came out. It's got very little Corey Feldman in it, although he's heavily in the trailer. And then they thought they could replace Kiefer Sutherland with his brother, who really had never acted before in hardly anything, Angus Sutherland. And he's not a real bad guy. Like, he just looks like a dude that hung out at the beach a lot in California. I'm like, it's not scary. The special effects are terrible. The story's terrible. Dare I say there's a number three? God sakes, there is. But that was one of my honorable mentions. And then I would be remiss if I didn't mention this movie, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yes.
The worst ending to a movie that I have ever watched. And I will leave it at that. Brian, go ahead and drop your honorable mentions. What do you got?
So, first off, I would be yelled at if I did not mention this for Pat, because this is his worst sequel, which is Iron Man 3. You mention that movie around him, and he goes into a nerd rage like no other.
A nerd rage.
And it's still a film I haven't seen. So, I've been saving the back burner for him and I to do like a live reaction to it. So maybe I can see how he actually reacts to the damn movie.
It's bad.
But on my list for honorable mentions, I've got Blues Brothers 2000, which I love the original Blues Brothers film. And I love me some John Goodman. But good God, why? Why did we need to make that movie? Then there's Jurassic Park 3. Another film. The only thing that comes good out of that is from the Raptor on the plane when he looks at Dr. Grant. And then last on the list, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Oh, gosh, that is an awful movie.
That is terrible.
The costumes. The
mouths, they just don't move anymore. The story is absolutely terrible. There's nothing to do with the Shredder. I thought we were finally going to get Krang, and we had to wait till a damn Nickelodeon-produced movie to get Krang.
Mm. Gosh, those Nickelodeon movies deserve to be on this list as well. Yeah, number three. I forget how bad that movie is. It is awful.
If you watch them all row, you can see the costumes just degrade over time.
Now that I'm thinking about it, the reboot to Ghostbusters should probably be on this list too. But now that we're talking about Ninja Turtles.
You can't say that, though.
Whew. Yeah, any Ghostbusters true fan hates that movie. So I will say it, and I stand by it. In fact, today I was watching TV, and I came across, I think it was Spike TV, or it's not Spike anymore, Paramount, and it said Ghostbusters, and I was like, oh, cool. And I clicked on it, and it was Ghostbusters 2016, and it was Fall Out Boy singing the Ghostbusters song, and I was like, you sons terrible. Of bitches.
I think Missy Elliott's involved in that song, too, for some reason.
Yeah, the Queen. J.D., JD, what do you got for your honorable mentions here?
So I have to say, much to Dave Phantom Dark, or what's his name? It's called Pancake Dark Dave's podcast. Yeah.
Pancakes.
Jeez, have you guys not seen Aladdin Return of Jafar?
That one hurts, Dave, right in his core. You know it does.
Right in his core. Next to that, I'm going to go ahead and throw down this 1994 classic, City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold. Come on. I liked the first City Slickers. When I was 9 years old, I enjoyed the second City Slickers. But as a grown-up, watching the Legend of Curly's Gold, quite confused to what the hell is going on.
I real quick, I have to give a shout out because there was a guy on our Instagram, because I posted like, what are your least favorite sequels, to get some feedback. And this guy direct messaged me. It's Amityville_2_Hill_Valley, which I love. Great name. And he said, City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold. And I was like, man, I haven't seen that in a while. Why don't you like it? He goes, yeah, the first one's near perfect. The second one is like getting punched in the face. So shout out to that guy. Glad you picked that one, JD. Yeah, continue. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. Hey, props to our audience and for all of the engagement that they do. I mean, you guys and gals, we're in this for you. So the more you can tell us and teach us how you hate The Legend of Curly's Gold the same as I do, the better. But the last one on my honorable mentions list, it's The Lost World Jurassic Park, which I think is even crappier than Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah.
In my opinion, like, obviously I know there's a lot of between Alan and Jeff Goldblum and like the different actors that we swap in and out, but I really think The Lost World is the inferior of the films. I hate it.
In our archives, we did a full breakdown of The Lost World. I was totally unexpected. JD's like the biggest Goldblum Jurassic Park fan you might meet. He hates The Lost World. Don't it's even true. Talk to him about it. I had to go through an hour and a half of him going, well, JD, what do you think about this scene? Next. He refused to answer me at some point.
I hate that movie.
He hates it. Hey, Brian, real quick, I saw this yesterday online. This might blow your mind. How old do you think Jeff Goldblum is?
He's got to be in his 70s.
Okay, yeah, he's 70 years old. That blew my mind. I didn't know he was that old. The guy looks like he's like 50.
Oh, yeah. No, he's one of those guys that just looks, you know, he even the way he acts, it just seems like he's just still regular, you know, 50s guy.
Yeah.
He could even be in his late 40s. Man.
Spry. And his wife is like 34.
Makes sense. And rocking the cradle though, huh?
They've got a kid or two. Like he's just like a socket wrench, just in and out.
Don't call him a socket wrench. Oh gosh. Oh man. Well, this has been another fun episode of Breaking Down Top Fives. Brian, thanks for coming on the show, man. This has been really fun breaking this down with you. Go ahead and plug your podcast one more time where people can follow you so we can connect with you online here.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me. I had a lot of fun with you guys. This was a great topic to talk about. You can find the Terrible Terror podcast out there on the normal platforms, you know, Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Google Play, all those wonderful things. Twitter, T_T_podcast, where I primarily hang out and chat and you know, interact with everybody. There's also the Instagram page, Terrible Terror Podcast, and you know, Facebook as well, Terrible Terror Podcast on Facebook. And I do have a YouTube channel that focuses on more like short reviews. A lot of the times I do them with Paranormal Pat. He comes with me. We usually go see movies together, so we usually do a quick movie review, and I try to throw them up quicker than I actually put everything together. So, but yeah, you can check that out. Terrible Terror on YouTube. But yeah, thank you guys so much. I had a lot of fun doing this.
All right, guys. Yeah, check him out. T_T_podcast on Twitter. Give his page a follow and check out and support his show. Yeah, my shout out of the week here. I was going to do a quick little breakdown and I just didn't have time. But if you guys are looking for a really good movie to see this weekend, go check out The Peanut Butter Falcon. Probably one of the my favorite movie that I've seen in the last like 5 years. By far. An amazing story. Shia LaBeouf, maybe a little career renaissance with this one. Probably going to win some awards. It's about a kid with Down syndrome who breaks out of an old folks home because he feels trapped and wants to go live his dream of being a professional wrestler. And it's got Jake the Snake Roberts in it, Mick Foley, Dakota, I think her name's Dakota Johnson, could be wrong on the last name. But yeah, awesome movie. Go check that out if you guys are looking for something fun to watch this weekend. I'm at KAutry29, JD's at Unjust Justin, and for now, we are out of time. Time to get back into the old DeLorean, punch it to 88. And return back to present day. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you later. See ya!